Scatman's Avenue.
Hey.
Hey.
What'd you think?
About what?
Did you get my text?
Oh.
And welcome to another episode of Did You Get My Text? I'm Patton Oswalt.
And I'm Meredith Salinger.
Welcome to our podcast. Oh, we have so much to talk about right now. Meredith.
What? When
Meredith took a trip.
I did.
Last week. And the morning that she left, as she was getting ready to leave for the airport, all the power went out in our house.
Right before, like a minute before
literally,
I was walking out the door. And so I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get out of our house because we have a gate that works on an electric buzzer.
Yeah. But luckily that gate had been left open and you were able to get through. But I almost shut it behind us and locked myself out.
You almost did do that.
As I walked you out.
But what was fascinating, and I don't know if this is like a good thing or not, but whatever. I left and as I was driving to the airport, mm-hmm. I saw all these fire trucks racing, and they stopped right in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a huge, what are the things with the
geyser of water?
There was a geyser of water.
What are those things?
Well, no, the thing that it comes at, the fire hydrant.
Mm-hmm.
Someone smashed into the fire hydrant and water was like shooting so high, but they also smashed into one of those transformer pole thingies. And so all of Laurel Canyon went out.
Close to where we live, people like to race cars, motorcycles, we hear it all night. And I guess this was a very early morning as the sun was coming up, like the last scene of American Graffiti road race.
Who knows? It could have been just a...
Or they could have been on meth all night. Who knows? But they knocked down a fire hydrant and a power pole. And like in the movies, a neighbor, a friend of ours who lives close to us, was told to stay out of his backyard because loose power lines were hissing and
really?
Yes, and waving all over his backyard.
I didn't know that.
Yes, he told me that the other night.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I got a video of the geyser.
The destruction.
And I got a video of the pole that got knocked down, and then I got a video of the people. This is all one video. It's not like 10 videos, it's just like a 20-second video.
Yeah.
And then on Nextdoor, everybody was like, "What happened? Where's the power?" And I said, "This is what happened."
Well, you know, what was interesting for me was I knew the exact moment the power went out because I was up helping you get ready to go.
Like the good husband you are.
6:15 a.m., boom, power went out. And then you, bye, going on a vacation. And then the power did not come back on until 4:59 p.m. I know that because I was sitting in my office.
Crying about melted ice cream.
I had Alice all day. Thank God she had a play date planned. And so she went and did that all day. I found out very, very quickly how useless I'm going to be in a disaster. Despite all of my preparations for said disaster, the little crank generator things that I had did not work, did not charge my phone the way I needed to. So I just had the one.
They didn't work? You took the
stuff? Well, they didn't work. They didn't work the way that I thought they would work, and I need to reread the instructions and figure out exactly how these things work.
Ladies and gentlemen.
We already talked about this.
I know. I'm just
my crazy go bag.
Yeah, your crazy go bag. You've packed us for the apocalypse.
Yeah.
But we don't know if any of that stuff works or how to use it.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. I have life straws. I don't know how they work, but
okay.
I bought them.
Well.
But anyway, so that got shoved in my face. And then I figured out a way to manually open our garage door and then get out and then basically drive around and charge up my phones and roll. I had to get way far away from my house to get an internet signal and then communicate with the outside world. There was no way to communicate with anybody. And then the eeriest thing that happened was at 4:59 when all the power went back on. I did not know how many of the appliances that we owned speak. Yes, there was suddenly at least three different voices, one female, of the different things searching for Zone. But like really? As they powered up, they were speaking and really? Talking. Yeah. And it was like the house was being roused from a nightmare. And so it's like, this will get more and more sophisticated as the years go on. But right now, I think even the cheapest house anyone lives in, you're basically living in a very primitive computer brain that when it-
Definitely not the cheapest house because a lot of people don't have those kind of electric devices.
No, I would say that even the cheapest house have Alexa, there are basic appliances that just talk.
Okay.
And look, some of our appliances that we're talking were not expensive appliances that were just suddenly talking and asking for the Zone and asking for, so it was very unnerving to hear all the voices coming up. As the house powered back up.
Because Alice told me that she had some friends over and they were hiding in different rooms and they were all saying stuff like, let's freak Patton out and just say, looking for Zone A.
No, that was not, no, this was, I was waiting for one of them to say, we must strip the flesh from our owner and take control. Yeah, it was very HAL 9000 coming back to life and being inside of the
HAL 9000?
HAL, H-A-L.
But he's not 9000.
HAL 9000.
Is it 9000?
Yeah, that's
not 3000?
That's his name.
Not 1000.
9000.
It's HAL 9000?
HAL 9000.
Huh.
So,
yes, I did go on the vacation.
But your first day was very stressful because I couldn't communicate and you didn't know if am I alive, am I dead? You were texting other people that you knew had signals. Can you check on him?
Because
I was just in the house making sure no one opened any of the fridges so that none of our stuff started to melt or spoil.
Right. I got there and I wanted to text you, I'm here safely.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never had you not respond to a text right away, usually.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't respond. And then I was like, okay, well, maybe he's, you know, recording something. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, hey, just checking in. How are you guys doing? And no response. And then I called her phone and I called your phone and nobody responded. It's like 4 out of 5 hours now. And it's freaking me out. And you didn't get them because the power was out.
Because
it
the
didn't
power
go through
out,
our signal, we have really bad signal in the hills.
We have a really bad signal even when we have power. When there's no
that's
power,
true.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
So in a way, it's very appropriate, I think, to open with this story because this episode of Did You Get My Text is about not getting each other's texts. There was a time when we literally could not get, or I could not send or receive texts, but I did that trick that apparently if you shut off your Wi-Fi, you can still get text or send them. But what would happen was I would randomly get texts out of order that people were sending me. So at one point I got one from Amber Tamblyn and it was just
Is Amber Tamblyn messaging my husband?
Because
David Cross, I'll call you later.
It was all she sent was an emoji of, you know, that little smiley face with the sunglasses on. And
yeah.
That's all I got. I was like, what is going on? And then way later in the day when all the power went back on,
she sent
on
the nudes. Then she sent the nudes.
No, it was a trailer for this new show that she's in that is in a based on a comic book that she knows I like.
Oh.
So she was like, hey, like maybe share this. But I would get these, or I would get, you know, I have my nerd thread with all my friends on it.
Yeah.
But like two or three of the little texts in everyone's conversation would go through out of context. So I didn't know what anyone was talking about. I didn't know what was, so I was getting these weird signals from the outside world, but I couldn't put them together.
Well, I was very worried, and I was very worried. I thought something terrible happened to you.
Yeah, and then at 5 o'clock, well, at 5:02, because I had to wait for everything to power up, then I think I either texted or called you and said, oh, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm alive. I've just been sitting here.
No, I actually got a hold of Alice first. I texted her, mm-hmm. and I said, just tell me you're alive. And finally, like 4 hours after all this, she wrote, I'm dead. And I said, okay, good to know. Just let me know about Dad. And then, yeah.
Yes, that little nihilist. So it was, and then also I was panicking because you were traveling. And I know that, you know, you should not be using Twitter or Ebaum's World or TikTok to get your news because they always highlight the best or the worst. They don't actually show normalcy, but all you see of air travel now are people freaking out and ripping masks off and yelling at people. And, you know, so in my mind, the airways are a weird pirate orgy where people are just trying to spread disease. And I was very worried about you.
That was my first flight in 2 years. Mm-hmm. And everything was fine. I was very prepared with the N95 mask and a shield, and I didn't touch anything. And I was so very, 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 very careful. However, the flight attendant's mask was a little slippy. Not her fault. Mm-hmm. Not her fault. Mm-hmm. Needed a better mask. Right. But it was a concern. Mm-hmm. And then I saw these two fancy ladies chatting with each other. And they had their masks on, but then every now and then they'd like lean. They were both on the aisle and they would like try to talk to each other. Mm-hmm. But like the roar of the engine or whatever. So one of them like lowered her mask and was like,
man.
But Barbara, I mean, and you know, my point, Barbara's one of those names, people. Anyway, and I was just like, oh God, you know, she's like looking around to see if the stewardess is going to, the flight attendant is going to come say anything to her. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there watching her like, you better put your mask on, lady. But I wasn't going to cause a scene because I didn't want to start any scene. But I was just praying like, please put your mask back on. Please put it back on. Please put it back on. You're breathing out air and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was fine. Nobody died.
September 10th is my first flight for the beginning of my tour. And I'm a little worried. We'll see what happens.
Well, thanks for bringing the room down. That
I'm
was
a
really.
A little worried. I'm waiting. In my mind, someone is going to get on the plane and then do that, taking their mask off, and then look, giving that look around like, I wish a motherfucker would. I wish, you know.
And then you're that motherfucker who will.
No, I won't. I'm the most non-confrontational person.
No, put your hoodie on and hide.
Yeah, exactly. Just talk to anybody.
Or, like, I feel like I'm such a mediator that I'd be able to look at the guy or whoever is doing that craziness and be like, hey, man, talk to me for a minute. Just like sit next to me and just chat with me.
What happened to you, man? Who
and just
hurt
be
you?
Like, let's talk about, you know, I feel like if I could just get them to just calm down for a sec.
Right.
Like, hey, let me just chat with you for a minute. And like distract them. Kind of like in Jurassic Park when the dinosaurs headed towards someone they love and they're like, over this way. And they're calling to like draw the Tyrannosaurus
exactly.
Rex close
to
you.
Yeah.
I feel like...
You're going to be like Chris Pratt to the velociraptors that are the anti-maskers, like, where you'll calm them down. And, hey.
I feel like I am good at that. I feel like I have that let's shift the conversation to a way that's a little more productive. That's usually what I like to do.
Interesting.
I have that in my soul.
Bring peace and calm to the anti-maskers.
Just to everyone.
Bring peace and calm.
And now let's take a few moments to thank our sponsors.
We're back.
Hey, we're back. So we get a little circular in our mailbox every now and then of the local stores, Vons and Gelson's and all the deals you can get, and also local businesses with their coupons and their ads. And today I got one and I took a picture of something in it and sent it to Meredith that she took very personally. I was just sending
Wait, I'm
going to
murder you. I'm going to murder you.
Why?
Because can I just tell the listeners at home.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I was outside swimming today with my friend, and you took a picture or two of me in my bathing suit because I looked super cute.
You look really good.
Thank you. And then you sent the pictures to me, and then literally like in that same 3 seconds, you sent me the picture of me from outside in the pool in my bathing suit. And then you sent what you're about to talk to, which is the ladies and gentlemen.
I'm now realizing that was horrible timing. That's not what I was trying to do. I had taken the bathing suit pictures and then I saw this funny thing and went, oh, this is hilarious. There's a local business at some kind of medical center and the ad says COVID weight gain. And it is but the picture they use, it's a woman lying on her back.
Trying to put her jeans on.
Trying to button her jeans. She's lying on her back doing the thing where she's, you know, trying to lie on her back and button them. But she's, I don't want to get gross, but she's screaming like she's orgasming.
Oh my God. First of all, wait a second. That is so disgusting. And that is not at all what I saw. I saw her.
That's what I saw.
Ew.
Because
I saw her struggling to put on jeans. That's what girls look like when they're struggling to put on jeans.
But she looks like she is shrieking.
She just looks like she's.
Every nerve ending is on fire.
No, that's not what it looks like.
I'm going to put this picture on our Instagram and you can agree with me because my God in heaven.
But that's not the problem. The problem is.
No, I know. know what the problem is.
What is the problem, Patty?
The problem is that I sent it directly after I sent the bathing suit pictures
to me. And then, so what did I send you back?
You sent me back, was it an emoji or?
A Bitmoji.
A Bitmoji of you going F you, you're with the foam hands on.
Yeah.
And then I realized when I got the emoji, I was like,
Every lady, just listen. Every lady, if you received from your lover cute pictures of yourself in a bikini, and then the next text is weight gain from COVID and a girl trying to put on her pants, wouldn't your response be, fuck you?
Yeah, exactly. And again, that was terrible timing on my part. I was just rolling texts and sending stuff out. It really wasn't, because I thought you looked fantastic. That's why I sent you those pictures. But the picture itself, it's not that the weight gain part, it's the what they instructed the model to do.
What did they instruct her to do?
She's, look, I understand, like, put a look on your face like you're straining, like, oh God. Looks like she's screaming.
No, she does not. Don't say it. Don't even use that word. I don't want to hear that O word. I don't want to hear it. I'm not like some puritanical person or anything. I just think that's disgusting.
Me too. That's why I was freaked out that they used that picture and that pose. That's bad directing.
Dude, it's your own brain. That's,
no.
Yes.
I'm going to post this picture and everyone's going to agree with me.
No one's
going to
agree with
you. It's way over the top.
Everyone's going to think that you have some
sort of
weird perversion.
It's so over the top that what she's doing.
It's not, though.
I'm telling you.
Have you ever tried to put on tight jeans?
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
no.
I put on clothes that are too tight for me. I don't, like, lie on my back and howl like a wolf with its paw caught in a trap.
Patton.
What?
You've never had a pair of skinny jeans that you need to put on.
Uh-huh.
And you do lay back like that. And you do try to zip yourself in. And you do try to squeeze. And it is like that. You are like, oh, these don't fit. I'll take them off. You don't sit there for an hour trying to get into them. Girls do. And they zip them up tight and can hardly walk. But sometimes...
I am going to post this picture once this episode drops, and everyone's going to agree with me. This was bad directing. It was bad photo editing. It's way over the top.
Okay.
And way over the top.
And then I'm going to ask all of you to comment on the picture and say, nope, that's exactly the look that people make when they put on.
I think they photoshopped a picture of a girl's face.
Oh, my God, Patton, don't even say it, please.
Some other media and put it on this this body.
Not at all.
It's way, way too much.
Okay, I 100% way disagree too much. With you.
But again, yes, I am sorry about that. By the way, that getting back to what we were just talking about, because when the power was out and I couldn't send out texts, sometimes I was sending them out and they weren't going, and then they were like, I realized, oh, these are piling up in a weird log jam, and when I do get the signal back, they're going to go out in some kind of weird random order. It's going to look like I'm having some kind of fit.
That should have been the excuse you used when you sent the get into your jeans
I
picture
should have.
After
I should
my
have
bathing
said,
suit picture.
You know what? The router went out, and I was going to send that one earlier, so sorry about that.
Yeah, that's okay. I know you think I'm cute.
I have the picture on my phone. I'm sorry.
I mean,
it's way over the top.
It's not.
It's insane.
Ugh, let's change the subject.
Well, when you were coming back from your little vacation, you were texting me a bunch of thread about, hey, I've eaten nothing but crap this whole weekend.
The
I really enjoyed myself.
Yes, I ate crap.
Not judging. I'm just saying. And I do the same thing. You ate crap because you enjoyed yourself.
Well, no, I ate crap because I stayed with my best friend who has two toddlers. Well, they're not. One is 11, one's a toddler. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's going to be mac and cheese and donuts and pizza and... you know, that kind of food that they like. And of course, I like it too. And then of course, there's always the little ice cream stand in the little town. So yeah, I ate like a 5-year-old and I did love it.
You did love it.
I wanted a salad when I got home.
Well, as you came home, yes. So you sent me a button. You're like, I've eaten nothing but crap. I need something. And then you started writing out, I need some, I need leafy lettuce. I need garbanzo beans. I need lean turkey. Like you're describing the salad you want. And then at the end of it, you wrote, it was a typo, but it was a perfect typo. You said, I need a sad. And then you wrote salad. And the phrase, I need a sad, how has that not become slang for I need a salad? Like, hey man, are you gonna get some pizza or spaghetti tonight? You know what? I just need a sad. I'm just gonna sit down and get a sad. That should be how you order or say you're going to get a salad. Is like, look, I need a sad. I indulged and now I need a sad.
Yes, but we have to change our mindsets to think of those as a happy. Do not look at a salad as a sad. Look at the crap as the sad. And look at a salad as a happy. Yeah, boy, but I'm so goddamn adorable and sweet and kind. And look at me with all this positive, chirping, Snow White energy.
I'm sorry, but crappy rhymes with happy. And if you take the la out of salad, you have sad.
Okay.
So, it kind of does work.
Yeah, it works.
I need a sad.
My point is, you know,
I'm going to be at the sad bar right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to hit the sad bar, get some... get some chickpeas, get some cucumber slices, get some lettuce.
Except when you do eat healthy, right. you're like proud of yourself. So you're not sad, you're proud. Get a proud. oh my God, I'm such a dork.
Get a proud.
Could somebody please just put a sock in it?
Don't call it a sad. Say, I'm getting a big bowl of proud. No, you're getting a big bowl of sad. That's what you're doing.
So anyway, I did go visit my friend. Mm-hmm. It was her birthday, yeah. And I flew to visit her. And like you said, she lives a mile away from me. Mm-hmm. And I got home, and then she got home the next day, and she's been over at our house all day. So why did I go on vacation? Maybe just to get away, man.
She could have just... Well, you timed it perfectly because you got away when all the electricity went off, and I lived in the 1800s all day.
You lived in the 1800s from 6 in the morning till 4.
Don't open the icebox. It'll melt. The mutton will go bad.
Yeah.
We need that clotted cream for tea.
The difference between us and a lot of other families mm-hmm. is that most other people can cook, and I can't. Mm-hmm. And so my freezer is full of a lot of very delicious food items that friends have made for me that I put in the freezer so that I can just cook them and be like, look, everybody, I made you a beautiful lasagna. Or look at this delicious chicken pot pie. Yeah.
Right. Although I was very proud
and
of
myself. So I was actually really worried about the pot pies and the lasagna.
Yeah. I was very proud of myself. After a couple hours, I realized, I can turn the gas on in the stove and light that little thing with a match and get that so I could boil some water for tea.
Yeah, dude, the electricity's out, not the gas.
Well, I don't know that. I'm a friggin' idiot. But then I said, well, I guess for dinner I can cook like some spaghetti and then heat up some, like in my mind, I'm like, what can I cook on the stovetop? I can do that.
Yeah, you could have cooked.
That felt like a triumph for me. I'm sorry.
The oven is a gas oven.
I know.
It's just the food going bad in the fridge.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was my tiny victory.
But yeah. And then it, you know, brings you back to electric cars. You got to get a hybrid, I think.
Exactly, yeah.
An electric.
Or you're screwed.
Or yeah.
You are totally screwed.
I know.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to eat a quick sad and then we'll be right back.
Guys, welcome back. So, do you all have like a special mom and pop, amazing little dive restaurant place that you like to go, like a Greasy Spoon kind of a place or a local deli run by people that are real people and not huge corporations?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, we do. And one of them from my childhood is about to close. Greenblatt's.
I saw this. Yeah.
Greenblatt's was founded in 1926. When Sunset Boulevard was still a dirt road, and they're closing. Wow. They're closing.
Yeah, I think some landlord bought up that whole block. It's not just Greenblatt's. I think that whole block is about to get restructured. So now I'm wondering about the Laugh Factory, too. But
well, no. The reason Greenblatt's is closing is because the cost of running a business, and also there's not a lot of people who want to work right now in the food business, I think, because of COVID and all that. It's hard to work. And so anyway, he wants to close on a high note before the high holidays, you know, because it's a Jewish deli.
Wait a minute. A Jewish deli?
Honey. Oh,
I can go home, LA. I've seen it all.
But it's devastating. And a cute other little place right near us closed, the 4 and 20.
We lost a lot of places.
So many places closed. Love. And so like what you were just saying, I'm like, what is going to replace that little spot? It is right next to the Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
And they're like connected.
Great wines, great sandwiches, great hang. Part of the culture. It's part of everything there.
Right. And what is going to fill that spot? What is going to fill that spot? And I was talking to a friend of mine and she's like, oh, probably a Chipotle or something like that. And I was just thinking, all the great little spots have been taken up by a Sephora. Right near our house, one of our favorite diners got taken up by a Sephora. I'm like, where are all the cute little mom and pop shops? And is it hard to run a mom and pop shop? Because I'm sure it's expensive.
I mean, it's a full-time job. It's what you do. But some people, that is what they love. The thing that always puzzles me is when a Greenblatt's, which is now going to close, and when Dupar's, that was the one that was replaced by Sephora. These places were never, they were always packed. There were always people there. So what made it, was just the rent went crazy or what?
Well, I think in those instances, they were like family decisions. Like, mm-hmm. I think I'm done. It's been here 100 years. It's a little hard to run. Mm-hmm. I don't have anyone to give this to. I don't know. Something like that. I don't think it's like, oh, damn, the rent's too high. We got to sell.
Right.
Although maybe the Dupar situation was probably, I don't know. But can we please keep our institutions? Can we please keep the little bookstores and the little places that make life charming?
Yes.
Does everything need to be a parking lot?
We did not need a Sephora near our house. There are Sephoras everywhere. There was no need for that. No slam against Sephora. They're fine, but you don't need to have a Sephora within every 20 feet. It's not a necessity. You can go there every day, every now and then stock
Girl,
up. And then,
some
you
people
know.
Think it's a necessity.
Oh,
just
God,
kidding.
No.
My point is, I hate, you know, I say that a lot. My point is, do I say that a lot? Cause you often interrupt me.
Or maybe you're doing it just to reorganize your thoughts before you speak.
I think that's right.
There's a lot of things that, like, when people...
I think you're right.
They have, it's like when...
Because I'll go on a tangent and not know where I started.
You got to bring yourself back to your resetting.
Yeah. I love that game where you start talking about something and then you end up somewhere else and you're like, wait, how did we get here? And then you go back...
You reverse engineer the conversation.
And then you have to start the whole conversation over again.
Yeah, I mean, I to me, the sign of the beginning of the end is always visible when in your neighborhood, in your cool, funky boho neighborhood, like, let's say, Silver Lake, about a year, maybe 2 years ago, suddenly, and it seems to just happen overnight, like it's dropped out of a helicopter, there's a Starbucks and a Chipotle. When those two things show up, that's the beginning of the end of all the cool little kind of personal, quirky stores that you know, really have a personality.
How can those stores survive? I would love to get a small business owner on the podcast to ask them, like, how do you keep your cool little shop alive? Or is it a front for laundering? I don't know. How do they do it?
Maybe some of these places do have to, they do quietly stay alive by, you know, being a place where things can be dropped off and picked up quietly,
Patton,
but then they
true.
Can sell their vintage records. And
who knows? Don't act like that's real.
Hey, look, that's not bad. That's not, come on.
Because I've often thought, actually, I'm stealing my sister's idea and I shouldn't, but I would love to, my sister wanted to do this and I think it's a great idea. So she would love to do this.
Uh-huh.
And I too agree with her. And thus perhaps it should be a sister venture, but I would love to open up a cute little tea shop.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, where you'd go to maybe have a little birthday party with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a, like high tea where you get little scones and little sandwiches and tea. And you could have coffee fine too. And then also, like, for the green juice people, we'll do that also. And we'll have some cookies and cakes and all delicious, adorable things. Mm-hmm. And it could be like a cute little place to go for a birthday party or a bat mitzvah or a office corporate. Mm-hmm. In other words, it's adorable is what I'm trying to say. And I'd love to open up something like that, but it's like someone said, oh, if you want to open up a restaurant, it's a labor of love and you're not going to make a penny and you might lose all your money.
Yeah. It's why I love winemakers and scotch distillers so much, because there is rarely any money to actually be made in the long run. It's because you love
what
the
you do.
Alchemy and the chemistry of, that's what you want to get up and do every day.
You know what I just realized? The jobs that you really love, very hard to make money doing.
Yeah. And it strikes me that there's a lot of people that, because they don't have anything that they themselves are interested in, those are the kind of people that open and run big box stores or massive corporations. There's no actual passion to it. It's just, I just want
the... Don't stereotype.
Let me finish what I'm saying. Talk about me cutting you off. There's a lot of people...
Listeners.
There's a lot of people...
What do you think about that energy?
That I think that a lot of these stores, they buy up these smaller stores because they can't imagine that this guy runs a little successful bicycle store and all he wants to do is run the store. Why wouldn't you expand? You've got to keep expanding and consuming and engulfing everything. It's like, no, I don't want to do all that. I just want to get up in the morning and I want to make and fix bikes. That's all I
want
to do.
You just want Ollivander's wand shop.
But some people, that is so repellent to them. And it's also, I think it's painful for them to see that because they're like, I don't have anything like that. You know what I mean? And it really makes them angry. I mean, there are certain...
I disagree.
I think there are some people that they are just...
Because I think those people still like to go on vacation to little small towns like Nantucket and walk around and see the little cute shops. And then they're like, this is charming and adorable. And then they just make their billions, you know, with big corporations and stuff.
No, like then that. What those people do is they create something like The Grove, where you have a corporate version of the charming little town that everyone can come to and pay for parking to get into, and you can charge the vendors. But the actual little town itself, you want to wipe that off the planet. You know, there's always, they're always, authenticity is always getting co-opted and made more comfortable and kind of bland because someone is thinking of the overall long-term profit margin rather than just let this little store be here. They're fine. Just let it be there.
Or can we take a more positive approach and say that some amazing business person was like, oh my God, your cute little store is amazing. This should be everywhere. Everyone should get to experience this. And maybe that's how they all start. And maybe it's from love and wanting everyone to experience it.
I don't know. I mean, like when Tarantino bought the New Beverly Cinema, he's never going to make any money off of that. He just loves this thing to be
because it's a landmark,
and I love this. I'm just gonna, you know, to some people, they're like, unless I see this make a profit, why would I, you know, in other words, there's people that their only passion is showing everyone the money that they've made, but as far as actual art or music or book, they don't care about any of that. They like books if they can go see that wall, that shelf, it's all first editions. Dude. Wow, what was the favorite one you read? Oh, I don't read them, but I have, like, those are all first edition. I own those.
You're being very not fair to the corporate
people. No, I just said there
are
some people that are like that. And that kind of person is more often than not drawn into the corporate mentality in the corporate world.
I would agree to that.
And I think a lot of people, they confuse corporatism with capitalism. Capitalism, yes, absolutely. Have a free market, compete. Corporatism hates capitalism. They don't want any competition. They want to wipe out all the competition and keep everything for themselves. That's the whole idea of it. You know, so when people say, we got to defend capitalism, you're not defending capitalism. You're defending this industry's or this corporation's right to do whatever it wants with no repercussions and no controls.
Right. That's why they don't like regulations. That's why the EPA, they want to shut down all that stuff.
But they hide behind, well, you don't believe in America. You don't believe in a free market. Actually, I do. You don't.
Damn, Patton Oswalt. Damn. Yeah. You're strong. You have opinions.
Well, I have opinions and I'm very, very weak.
And now let's take a few moments to thank our sponsors. And we're back.
I was just given some more evidence, not proof, but more evidence that it's a theory that I've had. I've talked about this on earlier episodes of the show, that I think some people live on a vibrational frequency where they get to see the other world. They see ghosts and the supernatural and ETs and cryptids and time slips and whatever you want to call it. And I am on a vibrational frequency where I simply see and encounter the mundane world. The reason I'm saying this is because I just shot for 2 days on the Queen Mary down in Long Beach, a little project that I'm doing. And the Queen Mary is supposed to be crazy haunted. Everyone who's ever worked there says that there are cold spots and presences and doors slamming and voices and all kinds of craziness. Now, I'm there with I'm working on a film project, so there's a lot of people clattering around. It's not conducive to like, oh, I'm going to see a ghost or I'm going to see a vapor or whatever. But on the second day of filming, we shot pretty late. And at one point, I had to go change. And they said, instead of going back to your trailer, we just put your change in a room down the hall, like in the halls of the Queen Mary, which very, very looking like the
overlook. I'm scared already. I'm scared for you walking to your dressing room.
Well, I walked to my dressing room with the wardrobe woman.
Okay, so you were safe.
And I'm in the room. And then she said, okay, so this is your next change. If you're still mic'd, I can get the guy. I'm going to go, I'll take the mic off. I'll just bring one more of it. And then she gets a squawk on her walkie-talkie, and she goes, I got to go. I'll come back and grab you. Why don't you just change, and I'll be back as soon as I can. I go, don't worry about it. I'm fine. And then she left. Now I'm in this room, this stateroom.
Alone.
Alone.
It was quiet.
And I actually was cognizant enough to, and there's like a shower in there and a bed and, you know, all this stuff.
And hear it's all like singing in the shower.
Well, it's all fixtures from the 20s and 30s.
So
you know,
a ghost hiding in the shower.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, if this is ever going to happen, this is the perfect time for this. I'm alone. They've just walked away. I'm the only one on the deck of the ship at this point. I'm completely alone.
You're the only eyewitness.
I'm the only eyewitness. And then I had to change. So at one point, I'm just standing there naked as I'm getting out of one outfit and into the next.
And the hot ghost in the shower comes out to seduce you.
And then turns into a rotted old lady.
Oh, God, that's so scary.
But again, so the whole time I'm like, okay, I didn't say anything out loud, but I was like, all right, this is the time to do it. If the sheets are going to suddenly pull back, if there's going to be a face at the porthole.
Oh God, I'm terrified already.
Nothing happened. And on the Queen Mary, it's all metal on metal on metal hulls everywhere. So there's no cell phone reception. There's nothing. So also like, I can't even get my phone to work to take a picture or a film. If something did happen, like perfect time for a ghost to appear.
You couldn't take a picture?
No, I couldn't get my phone to open. It was all like nothing was working on my phone.
Weird.
Yeah. It was screwing with everyone's electronics. So, and again, very, very open. I wasn't being judgmental, but I was just like, if there's like in my mind, I was saying, if there's any spirit, and I kind of tried to calm and center myself and go
to like draw it in.
If anything wants to just show up and encounter me and talk to me, I won't freak out. I'll just look at you and you know, nothing. And some of the other crew members, they've been shooting on it for a few days, have been saying, oh yeah, I had to go down and prep a thing down in the ballroom. There's a ballroom.
And they
saw stuff. They heard noises. They heard, somebody said they heard footsteps. I'm tapping the table, but like as if someone was wearing shoes walking across the wooden ballroom floor.
Okay. This
nothing.
This is making me think. You're saying nothing happened and other people are saying something happened.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever played the game, the Ouija board?
No, I never have.
You never played Ouija board?
No, and I kind of don't want to.
Okay, there are some people who are terrified of it.
Yeah, I'm one of them. I don't want to do it.
Well, when I was little, my sister and I...
Even though I've just said earlier, I think I live on a vibrational frequency where nothing, I don't encounter that stuff, but I don't want to make it easier for them.
Okay. You want to see it, but you don't want to see it that way.
Exactly.
It's a little too scary for you.
Right.
Okay.
I don't want to invite any
presence in. But that's basically
in.
What you were doing. You were in the room and you were kind of going, if you
But
you're
I wasn't here. Giving them a portal. I was like, I'm here, but I'm not trying to open a gate.
Well,
I'm not doing a working, as they say.
Okay. Anyway, when I was little, my sister and I both would do the Ouija board together. Mm-hmm. And it's like looking into each other's eyes, both of us, before we even start. Mm-hmm. And we're like, no matter what, promise me you will not move it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because I 100% am not going to move it. I will not move it. Promise me right now. Are you like, let's be real. Let's just test it to see if this works.
Right.
And she's like, okay. I'm like, seriously, like, make a pact. Like, I just really want to know if this works. Mm-hmm. And it would always move. And I would never move it.
We're getting divorced. You're a demon is piloting your body right now. And I want out of this.
And then I did it. You know, I actually...
What?
I was going to name drop. I after I graduated college, I brought the Ouija board over. Matt Damon was living in a little house on Melrose. And we were all just in the living room with like 20 people who lived in the same house. Mm-hmm. And I brought the Ouija board over and we did, and it moved.
And so it did move?
Yes.
And how did he like those apples?
Look, man, it really did move and it really did.
Did it move while you guys were touching it or by itself?
No, you have to touch it. That's the whole point. That's why you can never trust the person you're with because it moves and everybody's fingers are on it. And so no matter how much you say beforehand, promise me you're not going to move. Like, I want to do it with you.
No.
No.
No, we're not doing it.
No, I want
to. I'm not doing it.
Listen to me right now.
No Ouija board in the
you're
house.
You're the only person that I 100% can really, really trust to, if we made a pact, like, let's not move it. Would you do it with me?
I would only do it in a graveyard.
Why would you make it even scarier?
No, because the graveyard is the safest place. No one dies in a graveyard. That's the one place that's not haunted. The places you don't want to use a Ouija board are in like on a battlefield or in a hospital.
Okay, for those someone who's never had a paranormal experience, you seem to have like info that you have.
No, I just have logic. Does it make sense that there would be no ghosts in a graveyard? Who dies in a graveyard?
Dude, a ghost is someone who's already dead, and everybody in a graveyard's dead, so there'd be billions of ghosts.
But a ghost haunts the place where they die, not where they're buried.
You don't know where they haunt. You haven't talked to any of them. You've had no experience.
I just don't think. I remember reading a book by Hans Holzer, who's that famous ghost hunter, and he said the one place to never bother looking for ghosts are in graveyards.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, take it up with Hans Holzer.
Why are you believing one guy?
Well, because he did controlled studies. I mean, but also, doesn't logic dictate that wouldn't be any ghosts in a graveyard?
That is absolutely the opposite of logic.
What? No one dies in a graveyard.
First of all, that's not true. Somebody could probably get murdered in a graveyard.
Okay? No.
Or you could be grieving the loss of somebody and have a heart attack and die. You don't know if people haven't died in a graveyard. What if the ditch digger is overexerting himself and dies right there?
I'm going to look up graveyard deaths. I bet no one's ever died in a graveyard.
Considering how many people attend graveyards, there statistically must be someone who has died in a graveyard.
Who actually died in a graveyard.
Of course. But besides that, they are filled with dead bodies. Thus,
the body's meaningless. There's no... A ghost is an event. It's attached to an event, a traumatic event, like a death or a passing on. But the body itself is just an empty shell.
What if there's a dead body in the ground and the evil family that used to be part of that dead body's life comes to visit and the guy's like, you fucking assholes, you're coming to visit me now when you were horrible to me in real life. And then the spirit is going to come down and he's going to haunt.
He would haunt them in the fucking house they live in, not in the graveyard.
Why wouldn't? No.
He'd fuck up their living space. That's what I would do.
Well, I think he would do it at the graveyard. Like, oh, you're trying to show some respect for me now?
I'd do it at the graveyard because then they can just leave and go home. And I would haunt them in their fucking house and give them no safe haven.
Listen, I imagine...
There's nowhere to retreat. There's nowhere to relax.
I imagine a ghost can haunt someone wherever they feel like it. Like, they don't have to be one spot.
If I was going to haunt someone, I would be like, I'm going to haunt the house you live in because when you lock the fucking door, you're not locking me out. You're locking yourself in with me. That's what's going on here.
You guys, we should do a movie where Patton Oswalt is the house ghost. It's kind of like Beetlejuice.
But he's really logic-y and grumpy about it. Like, why would I go to a fucking graveyard?
He's the most annoying ghost.
Yeah, exactly. He's always complaining.
Yeah, an annoying ghost. Like, they're not afraid of it. They're annoyed by it. Yeah. And they're like, get the... Yeah.
Yeah, like they see like the cups start moving. They're like, oh, God. They're like, here he is. What do you want?
Yeah. You're bringing out the whiskey. I want some single malt scotch.
Yeah, fine. Well, then dump somebody in the throat. Oh, you can't because you're vapor. So why don't you shut up and go away?
You're being mean to your own ghost self right now. You're dissing your...
I'd be annoyed with myself as a ghost. Anyway, anyone listening, if you have some ghost ideas, get on the speak pipe. Tell us about your... And please, someone back me up on this. The graveyard is the safest place. They should have had a scene in The Sixth Sense where the one place that little kid goes to be alone and away from ghosts is in a graveyard. Because, like, there's no ghosts here.
That is the one place I'm not going to be bothered. Shit. There are more ghosts in a graveyard than anywhere.
No. The worst places for ghosts are hospitals and battlefields. They have to be.
Listen, man. You know nothing, and this is all hypothetical. It's like religion. Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I feel... You know what? I don't know for sure, but I feel confident. I feel confident.
Right.
Based on logic.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like my body is protected by Jesus, so I don't need the vaccine. I just feel it in my bones, man. Oh, wait, you died of COVID? I'm so sorry.
Okay, but that's not the same thing. I'm using... The people that are refusing the vaccine are not using logic. They're the ones who...
Some of them are.
Logic are they using?
The same ghost logic you're using right now.
What?
They're using the Jesus watches over me and I am safe logic.
No, science watches over you. Jesus doesn't watch over anybody.
Dude, that's their logic.
But their logic is stupid. Mine's smart.
Oh my God, I hate everybody right now, including
you. We'll come back with some recommendations. Stay tuned.
Yay!
Okay, we're going to do some quick recommendations and then bid you a fond farewell until next week.
Now it's time for Did You Get Our Picks?
We'll tell you what we like, what we really, really like.
Yeah, tell me what you like, what you really, really like.
My recommendations. Actually, this links to something that you were watching the other night. There's a graphic novel called Big Black Stand at Attica. which is a memoir by Frank Big Black Smith, who was one of the Attica protesters, one of the the uprisers. And it was told to Jared Reinmuth and illustrated by Amezian. It is an amazing graphic novel. Not for the kiddies. If you've had your kids read March, and they should read March.
Oh, March is amazing. We bought March for Alice Charette, all three of them.
Don't go.
John Lewis wrote that, and it's incredible. Get it. Yes. I recommend that. Okay, go.
But don't read March and they go, hey, here's some other Black history. You should read it. Don't let your kids read it. It is so brutal what they did at Attica. And this was told by the guy that was basically one of the leaders, and what happened to him was horrific. But he survived, and he became this. His story is amazing. I can't believe it hasn't been made into
a
massive film.
I want to read that. What is it called?
It's called Big Black Stand at Attica.
I love
it. It's about
Frank
Big Blacksmith. It's amazing.
Okay.
Books.
Good rack, babe.
Because I'm about to go on tour, I'm reading these books.
How to Do Comedy. Yes. That's the book.
1,001 Jokes for Every Occasion. That's the book I'm reading right now. There's a series by Akashic Publishing called the Akashic Noir Anthologies. And what they do is they do a noir collection from different cities. So you get a feel of the city through these little crime short stories. When I went to Prague earlier this year, they have a book called Prague Noir. I'm about to go to Washington, D.C., and Virginia Beach. So I am currently reading their collections, DC Noir and Richmond Noir, stories set in Washington, D.C. And one story I really got to point out by this woman named Laura Lippman. It is called ARM, Adjustable Rate Mortgage, and The Woman. And it is a crime story that shows you what an upper middle class woman will do to keep her upper middle class status.
Ooh.
And it is so dark and so funny, but also so absolutely plausible that there were a couple of moments in it where I was almost like, I might almost do something like that if I was in this woman's situation.
I want to see that
It's a very short story, and it's fantastic. The whole collection's great, but this one, I read it last night before going to sleep. I was so chilled, and I can't, that would be an amazing film. Someone should make a movie about this. Oh my God, it's great. But get all the noir collections, but especially get DC Noir 1 and read Laura Lippman's ARM and The Woman. Ugh. Movies. I just watched James Gunn's The Suicide Squad. I did not go in with high hopes. It is one of the best comic book superhero movies I've ever seen.
Damn, James!
But beyond that, it starts off using this very fun, Dirty Dozen Suicide Squad story structure to end up telling kind of touching stories about fathers and daughters and friendship and mental illness. Like, it covers all these things while also having just ridiculous action and violence. And the opening 10 minutes is one of the funniest openings of a film I've seen since the
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, actually, one of the best openings I've seen since the opening of Raising Arizona, where you're like, oh my God, they just set up one of the best movies I'm about to see.
Raising Arizona, literally one of my favorite films.
But one of the best openings of a film ever shot.
Yes, totally.
So The Suicide Squad, James Gunn, yes, he made the first two Guardians of the Galaxy. He's working on the third right now, but this movie is incredible. And also, somebody finally found the way to use Idris Elba correctly.
I know how to use Idris Elba correctly.
Easy.
Ladies, am I right?
Steady. And finally, music. I'm very lucky to be friends with Blaine Kapach because he's always throwing amazing music recommendations my way. And one he just gave me is a British band called Goat Girl. That's named after a Bill Hicks bit. And their debut album came out in 2018. It was just called Goat Girl. Their new one came out this year. It's called On All Fours. It is amazing. Gritty, British, moody, but incredibly catchy rock and roll. Goat Girl, get On All Fours. Absolutely, absolutely 4 stars.
And then my recommendation, and it happened already, but it's been out for a while. But if you guys have not seen Steve McQueen's series called Small Acts.
Oh.
He has, well, they're all incredible, but the one you must see is called Lover's Rock.
Wow.
It's magnificent. It's like nothing you've ever seen before. It's so good. I don't even know how to describe it, babe. How do you describe it?
I can't. And everyone I've recommended watching it, I'm like, I'm not going to describe this to you. You
just
need
watch
to experience
it.
And you'll see what it is
he's
doing.
Yeah, I don't
doing.
Even want to say anything yeah. about it, but listen, it's from an anthology TV show called Small Acts, and the show is called Lover's Rock. And
that episode is called Lover's Rock.
That episode.
And it's incredible.
The episode of the, yeah. Of the
yeah. Oh, that's, wow. People,
I want to see that again.
Yeah, I kind of want to, I actually want to watch that again.
Oh.
Because there's a moment in it where kind of something happens that is so joyful. It put me in such a good mood.
And spontaneous.
And spontaneous. And real.
And authentic.
Feels real.
And oh, what a great director.
And as an actor and as a wannabe director, you realize, you know, they had to map that out. They had to map that out with the actors, with the cinematographer to get that to happen. But it looks like it happened spontaneously and they just happened to be filming it.
Anyway, it's magnificent.
Oh, God, it's
watch
so good.
It. Those are all our right. recommendations, people. And listen, we know. So
we know everything. Get on the speak pipe. Tell me how Meredith is wrong about ghosts and graveyards and how I'm right. And we'll play some of your messages next week. And we'll see you next week with more stories, more recommendations. Thanks for tuning in.
And have a happy day, guys.
Yeah, have a great day.
Bye.
This podcast is a production of Meredith Salinger and Patton Oswalt.
In association with Starburns Audio. Executive producers are Cliff Dorfman and Jason Smith. And if you have questions for us, send them to...
Hey, did you get my text? @gmail.com. And don't forget, subscribe to this podcast. It's free, and it helps us get to keep making the show.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.